Welcome to the DMD edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the Duchenne muscular dystrophy community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the 2024 Cure Duchenne Futures Conference in Orlando, Florida, and our special guest today is Michelle Werner, CEO of Alterna, which bills itself as the world's first tRNA platform company to decipher transfer RNA biology and pioneer tRNA therapeutics to treat thousands of diseases. Based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, Alterna was established in 2018 by Flagship Pioneering, which is also the investor behind Moderna, the now world-famous COVID-19 vaccine developer. Alterna's CEO, Michelle, has a personal interest in treating and eventually curing Duchenne muscular dystrophy. It was at the height of the pandemic, in fact, when her son, Caffrey, was officially diagnosed with the disease on May 15, 2020, his 10th birthday. At this conference, Michelle was among half a dozen speakers to discuss the latest treatment options for nonsense mutations in Duchenne. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much, Larry. Happy to chat.
So tell us your story.
As you said, my son was diagnosed with Duchenne in May of 2020. When he was diagnosed, I was working in large pharma, actually focused in a role that was oncology-based, so developing new medicines for cancer treatments, which is actually what I've been doing for most of my career. When he was diagnosed, though, it really made me appreciate the sheer unmet medical need that there is within the Duchenne community, but also broadly across rare diseases as well. So when we were sort of thrust into this unexpected sort of experience becoming members of the rare disease community, it really gave me time to reflect and think about my career in drug development and bringing forward new medicines and wanting to really also use that experience to make a difference for the rare disease community and hopefully Duchenne specifically.
How did you know there was something wrong with him?
Actually, we knew something was unusual with Caffrey from a very young age. At about 8 months old, he started to miss his gross motor skill milestones, like rolling over or sitting up independently. And that was, I guess, the beginning of our diagnostic odyssey, which then lasted about 10 years.
I have to ask you, 10 is kind of late in the game to be diagnosed with Duchenne.
That is correct. So he was diagnosed at that time, around 8 months old, with hypotonia or low muscle tone.
Low muscle tone, right.
And not just by his pediatrician, but actually by a neurologist as well. And we were told he would catch up with his peers. It would just take a little bit more time and that he would accomplish things in his own time. So for many years, you know, that was true. And we didn't worry so much about it. It really wasn't until he was around 8 or 9 years old that we started to recognize that not only was he plateauing in his ability to catch up with his peers, but he actually was starting to regress on some skills, especially like his ability to walk upstairs. And right. That's really what brought us back into sort of the exploration mode of trying to figure out what else was going on.
Were there any other issues besides the physical, such as behavior or neurological issues or appetite or anything like that?
Nothing with an appetite or behavioral, but he was diagnosed with ADHD, inattentive mm-hmm. type, at that same time. Like, so around his 9th birthday, he was right. diagnosed with ADHD. So in retrospect now, that probably is a manifestation also attributed to Duchenne. But at the time, it just seemed like a learning disability, as you know, is typical for lots of kids.
What about things such as enlarged calves?
Yes. Yeah, so we definitely recognized the enlarged calves. It didn't make a ton of sense to us at the time because he obviously wasn't the most athletic kid, as you would expect with most Duchenne boys. But I didn't have any sort of acknowledgement that an enlarged calf could also mean a neuromuscular condition such as Duchenne. It really wasn't actually until one of his physical education teachers mentioned something specifically that he observed in Caffrey, which was the Gower's maneuver, his ability to get up from the floor.
Oh, yes.
Exactly. Stereotypical fashion associated with Duchenne's. Yeah. But again, for us, it wasn't, you know, we did not make the connection because we were not familiar with Duchenne at the time.
Right. What deletion does he have?
So he has a frameshift mutation in exon 32.
So that's considered a nonsense mutation.
It's a frameshift mutation that actually leads to a nonsense mutation, or a premature stop, I should say, but it's actually a frame shift mutation, not a nonsense mutation.
Well, the sense that I got from the panel speaking about nonsense mutations is this is a whole area that's kind of been overlooked when talking about Duchenne. Can you explain why is that and what's being done about it?
Yeah, so nonsense mutations make up around 15% of the sort of genetic causes behind Duchenne holistically. It also makes up about 10 or more percent of all rare disease diagnoses. We actually call it stop codon disease collectively, right, this particular area. I would say for the most part, the technology has in Duchenne has very much been focused on exon skipping. And typically the most prominent exons that are affected with mutations in Duchenne.
45, 51, 53.
That is right. Correct. Clearly my son is not amenable to any of those technologies, right, nor are many boys with
right.
Duchenne.
It's estimated that something like 15 to 20% of boys with Duchenne cannot get help by any of these exon skipping diseases.
Yeah.
Interesting. So if you could, in layman's terms, maybe walk us through your journey from being a mom of a boy with Duchenne to becoming CEO of a company that's attempting to cure Duchenne.
Sure, absolutely. So what I would say is, you know, I was an executive in the pharmaceutical sector for much of my career. As right. I mentioned, it was focused in the oncology space. And after Caffrey was diagnosed, I went through a period of reflection and I thought, okay, I've been working in oncology for the last 20 years. Surely we've made a ton of progress during that time. And I feel like I was able to play a small role in helping to bring forward novel medicines for that space. By no means is it a solved problem, cancer, but certainly we're in a much better place now than we were
Absolutely,
two decades
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
So it really made me think about, well, if I'm going to work again in this industry for another 20 years, I really want to focus on the rare disease space and have an opportunity to make a difference for kids like my son, families not too dissimilar from my own, not just in Duchenne, but broadly across rare diseases.
So you're a caregiver and a CEO?
I am
or
a caregiver.
Or your husband is also taking
yes,
care?
Yes, okay. That's right. I'm a caregiver and a CEO. So when I come to meetings such as this one at the Cure Duchenne Futures Conference, it's almost a surreal experience to wear both a professional hat and a personal hat at the same time, but it allows me to feel like I have an opportunity to make a contribution on many different levels.
Sure. Wonderful. So I want to get into a little bit of the technology here. This is an astounding mission statement, I must say. The world's first tRNA platform company to decipher transfer RNA biology and pioneer therapeutics to treat thousands of diseases.
That's correct. Right. And what's so unique about the transfer RNA? Well, a couple of things. First of all, let's talk specifically about nonsense mutations, which is our first frontier. So nonsense mutations, as I mentioned, occur about 10% of all genetic mutations. So when we think about the 300 million people around the world that have some type of genetically driven condition, about 30 million of those stem from a premature termination codon or have what we call stop codon disease. Now, the phenomenal thing is that we observe the same premature termination codons across thousands of different diseases. And in today's world, the way that we're tackling the, 6,000 plus rare diseases that exist or that are known today, we're using a conventional approach of disease by disease or gene by gene. And unfortunately, when we try to tackle 6,000 plus diseases one by one, it will take lifetimes upon lifetimes in order to really make a dent in that problem.
Actually, the NIH is talking now about 10,000 rare diseases.
So it gets even more complicated, right?
Right.
Depending on how you ask and how you count.
Right. So your idea is to group these diseases.
That's correct. So what we do at Alterna is we identify those common mutations across those thousands of different diseases. And so taking 6,000 or 10,000 different diseases and really simplifying them into a few universal diseases. And these are the nonsense mutations that we see, the exact same nonsense mutations from disease to disease.
Okay, so I understand three broad categories of Duchenne mutations. Deletions, which is the majority, duplications, and then the nonsense mutations.
That's correct.
The fraction that's left.
That's correct. Right. And so the nonsense mutations are the mutations that we're tackling first at Alterna with our engineered tRNA technology. Now, an engineered tRNA is a small molecule. It's only about 76 nucleotides. And so if you juxtapose that to the size of a dystrophin protein.
Which is the largest in the human body, right?
Exactly, yeah. Right? So it really offers up a brand new possibility and to think about how you might be able to package a smaller molecule like that in order to be able to use these engineered tRNAs to read through these premature termination codons. Now, these engineered tRNAs are designed both by optimizing the sequences behind those tRNAs, but then also putting on chemical modifications that enhance for different properties, such as the activity of these molecules or their potency. And all of that is really important from a clinical perspective, because this is what's going to help us be able to deliver tRNAs that can rescue as much dystrophin as possible, and also to be able to have the ability to influence the dosing frequency at which a technology like this might be amenable to.
Okay. In your presentation, you said the approach could very well address not only Duchenne, but other muscle conditions. And you said that your company has looked at 25 reported disease models and 14 different genes and 7 mutation locations on a single gene. Can you explain that?
Yes, that's right. So in an in vitro setting, we've explored the ability for our tRNAs to read through all of these different possibilities. So as was mentioned, 25 different genetic disease models, 14 different genes. One of them was a dystrophin gene. And then actually we tested our ability for our engineered tRNAs to read through where different mutation locations, which is really important because when we think about exon skipping, for example, that's specific to one location, but not other locations, but also gene editing technology would require a specific location because it requires the ability to identify that mutation location using the flanking regions. But we see these premature termination codons in several different locations across many different exons in Duchenne. And so a single engineered tRNA would be able to read through these premature termination codons regardless of where that mutation occurs along the dystrophin gene or which exon it is in. And that makes it truly remarkable.
Interesting. I just want to ask you, and we're almost out of time, because Flagship did invest early on in Moderna, and of course we all know what Moderna's done. Is there any relation between what you're doing and the COVID vaccine?
So Moderna stands aside as its own company, but what I will say is the expertise that comes from having developed mRNA technology at Moderna for the last decade is expertise that Flagship Pioneering is very familiar with. The same in terms of how you deliver some of these oligonucleotides, which has been developed by Moderna. Now, that expertise is certainly one that we build off of at Alterna. I always like to say that we have the opportunity to stand on the shoulders of giants of companies like Moderna. And certainly our relationship with Flagship Pioneering helps to enable that acceleration of that knowledge and expertise, even at a startup company like Alterna.
So let me ask you to wrap up, what are you doing right now? Are you have some ongoing trials that we can talk about?
We're only in the preclinical space right now, but we are rapidly advancing our most promising engineered tRNAs towards the clinic. Our first frontier in the rare disease space will be rare genetic liver diseases, because we will be formulating with a lipid nanoparticle. But beyond the liver, we're very interested in the muscle space, such as Duchenne. We're also interested in the CNS space as well, because we think that there's tremendous unmet medical need where tRNA may be truly appropriate to address many of the patients within those populations.
Very interesting. And last thing, how is your son doing? How is Kefri?
Yeah, he's great. I mean, he is a happy-go-lucky kid. He's doing quite well for a boy of 14 years old with Duchenne. He did suffer 2 back-to-back fractures of his femurs, about 6 months ago. But miraculously, you know, I thought he would never walk again, but he proved us all wrong and is back on his feet. So
he's still walking.
He's still walking.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Michelle, thank you so much for speaking with us. We've been talking to Michelle Werner, CEO of Alterna in Cambridge, Massachusetts. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor. Thank you.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.